It is Monday, March the 11th, week 20 in fantasy basketball. Noah Rubin joins me as always. We will be looking at some overnight injury news. The Raptors, apparently they're throwing in the towel, finally. And we'll also look at our very early industry mock draft. I covered the first two rounds with Matty G a couple of days ago. Go and check that out if you need to. We'll break down round three and maybe round four. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. It is Monday. It is week 20. Fantasy playoffs should be started for most managers, I would think, now. If you're in the playoffs, hopefully your leagues aren't going much longer if it's head-to-head, because some of the injuries and the players missing time, it's already getting stupid. So I will bring in Noah Rubin, we can talk all things stupid, including my stupid early industry mock draft that we're in the midst of, which has been fun. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the draft so far?
Well, and I thought you were going to go with, when you said all things stupid, I didn't know if there was a specific team's injury report that you were going to be upset about this time. I know it's been the Grizzlies for a while, but the draft has been a lot of fun. I think there's significantly less pressure to make a good pick. I think the earlier you do a mock draft, the more acceptable it is to totally reach. And that's what makes this fun. Like, you do a mock draft a week or two before most leagues are drafting, people are like, okay, like, I'm about to draft. This has to be pretty accurate. I'm looking for accuracy. Help me with my draft, please. Right now it's like, oh yeah, I could see that. This could be fun. So I don't think there's really a, like, you can't make a bad pick in a mock draft before the previous season ends, which I think makes this fun. And I think that the word stupid probably also applies. So that's cool.
Yeah, and it does apply to a lot of teams at the moment, the injury reporting. I'm going to start at the top, the Atlanta Hawks, Sadiq Bey, done for the season. Look, I mean, the Hawks are probably going to be in the play-in, but if we be honest, and you're a Hawks fan, they're probably not going to do much in the postseason. So while it's never good to have a player do an ACL, this probably brings some concern into his availability for next season now, though. This is a serious long-term injury. You're looking at minimum 9 months, which takes us through to close to Christmas. So he's probably unavailable to start the season.
Yeah, definitely stinks. The fact that, one, he probably won't be ready to start next season, and two, that the Hawks are probably still going to make the play-in tournament. They're currently 3.5 games ahead of the Nets, but for some reason, it just feels like the Nets are losing games that they should win. The Hawks have been able to squeak out a couple wins that I didn't think they'd be able to get, despite dealing with every injury known to man within their rotation somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, when Jalen Johnson's healthy, obviously he's going to be the starting power forward. Sadiq Bey was starting because Jalen Johnson was out. Yeah. But then come next season, I would assume, barring any other roster changes, that DeAndre Hunter is starting and back in the starting lineup alongside Jalen Johnson in the front court. So I don't think Sadiq Bey is necessarily a guy that losing for fantasy purposes isn't going to dramatically impact next season. For the rest of the season, obviously he was going to be a really good option. And now it's looking like, I mean, DeAndre Hunter should be really good. Obviously not a well-rounded contributor, doesn't really get you many defensive sets, really just points. But then looking kind of through, like, is Bruno Fernando a guy to look at? Probably not in like a 12-team league, but maybe in like a deeper league. Get 11 rebounds and some defensive stats off the bench, 22 minutes. Obviously Okongwu's still out, so that's giving him minutes there. Capella's still on a minutes restriction, but they just don't have many other options, just kind of at a forward spot. So is Dylan Windler going to be part of the rotation? Like, is that where we're at? So I don't know. I think Bruno Fernando's a guy to, I'll say, keep an eye on maybe consider in like a 16 team league. I don't know if I'd have the we'll call it the confidence to pick up Bruno Fernando in a 12 team league.
Yeah, look, they've got a lot of guys out at the moment. It's probably Hunter. He's probably rostered everywhere anyway, so he's not someone you can go and grab in a standard league. Well, maybe you can. Maybe he's floating out there. So if he is, I would go and grab him. They're just a bit of a mess, and obviously it's rough because these are actually real injuries. I have no proof, obviously, but unlike some of these other teams, these injuries seem legitimate. So a little bit unfortunate. If I scroll all the way down here to the bottom of my list with the Toronto Raptors, are they finally accepting of the fact that they are not going to make any noise this season and they're just packing it in? Because Emmanuel Quickley has been ruled out tonight. Gary Trent has been ruled out tonight. Chris Boucher has been ruled out tonight. RJ Barrett's probable. Bruce Brown is questionable. Is it Kelly Olynyk season? I mean, he's been added, so, well, I hope he has. If he hasn't, go and add him. But beyond him, I mean, Grady Dick probably needs to be rostered with all these guys out, and maybe Jordan Nwora.
Yeah, it's kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Like, if you're mentioning Jordan Nwora as a guy that you have to consider adding, respectfully, of course. But we've been talking about it for weeks about Toronto, you know, having their own first-round pick. It's top six protected, so if it falls outside that, it goes to San Antonio. So it really does benefit them to lose at this point. Obviously, you can't have players go out there and intentionally lose basketball games, but, you know, maybe those minor injuries that normally they'd be able to play through if it was a meaningful game. Hey, let's sit you out. Let's give you a night off. Make sure we lose this game. Try and hop into the top six, because if they fall out, then it ends up being kind of a wasted season because if it's seven, goes to San Antonio. So Kelly Olynyk's definitely the guy that you need to be looking at if he's there. I think Grady Dick is certainly a guy that they'll want to see minutes out of. They're going to want to see what their first round pick can do in a larger role without other guys such as Scotty Barnes out there to help facilitate. Like, can we help him develop by just throwing him to the wolves a little bit? And, you know, maybe that includes having, I think RJ Barrett's probable tonight, so he should be out there. So it's not like what they were doing during summer league where it was Grady Dick and a bunch of people that weren't going to be on the roster. There may be one or two players from that team that ended up on the roster, but it was mostly just Grady. Jordan Nwora, I think probably not a guy I would consider in like a 12 team league, maybe in like a deeper format. If I'm really just looking for somebody to get out there and have a game being played. But I think Olynyk has to be the guy. But you've had him rostered since the trade deadline, so I don't think you're really going to find him out on any waiver wires.
I have. I've got him in way too many leagues. Someone else I'd just keep an eye on. I'm not sure exactly what his role is going to look like, but he's played decent minutes the last few games, and that's Javon Freeman-Liberty. So if we remember back to summer league, mm-hmm. where he was playing for the Bulls, I believe, he impressed. He had, I feel like he averaged over 20 points a game. Hang on, I'll pull up.
I can pull it up.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So in the summer league, so he had 24 points, 18 points, 28 points, 24 points, 12 points, some assists, a couple of steals, some blocks. One of these guys, a little bit like a Tari Eason kind of guy who can just contribute across the board. He would be available everywhere, I would assume. Maybe not the very, very deep leagues, but 14 teams, 16 teams, maybe 12 teams, if he can get up to 25 to 28 minutes a night, he'd be someone I'd just consider giving a look. So let's see what his minutes look like tonight with all these guys out. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think he might step into a larger role here?
I think with Quickley out, that he should. He's played 18-ish minutes last three games, averaging 8 points, 3.3 rebounds, 1.7 assists. So nothing super flashy, but you're right. He was awesome during summer league. I would assume that if he can get to 25, 30 minutes, like, one, just the idea of having somebody out there playing point guard for 25, 30 minutes should be a good thing. Should be, you know, make him worth considering in fantasy, especially if Quickley misses more than just one game. But I don't know if he is a guy that I would spend. Like, if you are of a limit on the amount of transactions you can make, I don't know if I'd be looking to stream him just for one game against, I think it's against Denver tonight. So I don't, like, halfway decent chance they get blown out in Denver. So maybe that helps his minutes. Maybe that hurts his minutes. Kind of hard to say at this point, but I think if Quickley misses more than just this game, he's certainly got to keep an eye on.
And yes, Chad, welcome to the show. What's up, boys? Happy Tyrese Maxey Day. So Maxey has been cleared to play. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
good news if you've got Maxey on your roster, which I don't, but I'm fairly certain one of my opponents this week does. So it is not good news for me. But I always figured he was probably going to come back this week.
Yeah, I don't have him anywhere either, but I'm, like you said, I'm sure I'm actually, I know for a fact I'm playing against the team that has him in my home dynasty league. So that's great.
Yep. Great. And then just quickly, last one, and then we'll dive into our early mock draft and pick it up at the start of round three. Alper and Şengün yesterday went down with what looked like a pretty significant lower leg injury. It's knee and ankle, apparently. I wouldn't say it was a typical mechanism in terms of ACL, but they haven't come out and said anything. And usually they can do that test to initially sort of gauge whether they think it's the ACL. The fact they haven't come out and said that gives me a bit of hope that this isn't an ACL and maybe it's just a really bad hyperextension. You would have seen it, I'm sure. What were your thoughts on the injury?
I'm trying to remember who reported it, but I'm pretty sure I saw they were testing both his knee and his ankle. Yeah. So it could have just been that they weren't entirely sure. But the fact that he was also like going off on a wheelchair, like, that's pretty scary just to think about. One, just for like his long-term health, but also, like, I mean, Houston, I don't think is going to have, they're 4.5 games out of the play-in tournament right now, but I can't imagine that if they don't have Şengün that they're going to be able to make a push to overtake the Warriors or the Lakers or anybody else there. So bad news, obviously, for Houston for this season. Hopefully it's not, you know, it's something that, hey, he's good to go at the start of next season. He's good to go at training camp. So he'll be ready to roll. But yeah, no, I can't imagine that they force him back out there, especially when, you know, there's, like, if we're being realistic, not a great chance of them making the play-in tournament. Like, they'd have to be pretty flawless the rest of the way. So
Yeah. So fingers crossed it's not the ACL. The fact he was in so much pain is also potentially a good thing, because ACLs often don't hurt. It just ruptures and then the pain, there's not a lot of pain. So, yeah, we'll see. All right. As promised, we are going to continue through the industry mock draft that I'm running at the moment. Let me bring up my screen. Here we go.
While you're bringing that up, Keeney, this is my home dynasty league. I have Joel Embiid, Evan Mobley, LaMelo Ball, Scotty Barnes, and Alperen Şengün. So,
yeah,
I have other guys, but, like, oh my goodness, this is horrible.
Yeah, I feel like the this season, just, or not the season, because I think the season injury wise has been okay, but this last 2 week period, 2 to 3 week period, we've had so many guys go down with 4 week injuries, 5 week injuries, not a lot of ACLs or Achilles or anything like that, other than Sadiq Bey, obviously, but just injuries at the wrong time of the year. Feels like a lot of, I'm getting a lot of comments or a lot of questions about teams that finished first or second, they're in their playoffs and they're losing in the first round because they've lost half their team to month-long injuries. So it's pretty frustrating. It's hit me. I'm sure it's hit most people that are watching along. So you're not alone. All right, way too early, 24-25 NBA Fantasy Mock Draft. We started this like 3 days ago, I think. Matty G and I did a recap of the first two rounds on, when did we do that? Sunday night Australian time, which was very early Sunday morning US time. And it was good. Had a lot of people watching along. So I thought we'd pick up where we left off. So pick 29. Actually, I'll just recap the first two rounds just for anyone that didn't see that that other video. So 14 analysts in this, so it's a 14-team league. We had Wemby going at pick number one, which was really the only reason I did this draft, to see where Wemby went. Wemby went at one. Shea, Nikola Jokic, Doncic, Embiid, Halliburton, Tatum at seven, Giannis, Steph Curry, Sabonis, Holmgren, interesting, Chet Holmgren at pick 11, Scotty Barnes, Anthony Davis, Trae Young rounded out the first round. Then we had Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, Paolo Banchero, Harden, Lillard, Durant, Bam Adebayo, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Alperen Şengün, hopefully it's not an ACL, Jalen Brunson, Lauri Markkanen, and Tyrese Maxey. So you were picked, well, I was picked three, you were picked four. You sniped me with Alperen Şengün. That is who I wanted in my second round there. So you've gone with Luka and Alperen Şengün. Just quickly, what are your thoughts? Sort of, I guess this is only a mock draft, so people do take chances, that sort of thing. But what are you thinking here with your build so far?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of alluding to earlier about not really being able to make like a truly bad pick because it's a mock draft in March. Like, obviously, so much is going to change that none of this is going to really matter by the time we get around to next season. But with the way Şengün had been playing and a couple of the games that he had, I know as I was tweeting it out, I mentioned he had that, I think it was like 45 point, 16 rebound, 5 steal game. Then he had the pretty monster triple-double after that. It feels like he's continued to get better every year. And I think given his upside, given the Jokic comps all the time, like next year seems like it's got a good chance of being a pretty big year for him, especially with how good this year already has been. Like, I could see him taking another step forward for sure. So combining him with Luka, two guys that, you know, well-rounded stat lines and two poor free throw shooters. Not, again, with punting, obviously not trying to lose like a specific category, but I figure two guys that are pretty dominant that are still kind of limited by their poor free throw shooting kind of fit well together. So that's what I kind of was looking for with the first two rounds and letting that kind of mold what I did in round three and potentially in round four. So.
All right, so Karl Anthony Towns went off the board at pick 29. This feels about bang on for me. I think he's roughly top 30. I think he'll be that range for the next couple of years with the squad that they've got. So I don't know. I don't really have much to say on this pick. I think this is fine.
Yeah, and hopefully he's back healthy to start next season, but I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be. So,
yeah, I don't think so. He's 37th this season, but once you get into this range, half around doesn't mean a lot. So I think Towns is fine. Pick 30. Now, this is an interesting one. Now, LaMelo Ball at pick 30. I considered him with my last pick, but I ended up going with Jalen Brunson instead, hoping that LaMelo might come back to me, and I missed out by one pick. What are your thoughts on him for next season? Because this ankle thing has been ongoing for 2 years now. He's obviously going to fall in drafts, but do you think he falls this far?
I don't see him falling this far. I think this was really good value here, but if the idea around him is consistently going to be all summer, hey, this guy literally just can't stay healthy. His ankles are a mess. Why would I ever draft him? Then he could, and it's going to end up being really good value. Like, as we saw this year, guys like Kawhi, Paul George, Anthony Davis all slipped a lot in drafts just because of their injury history. And then, hey, they just stayed healthy. It wasn't like, you know, I think part of it with LaMelo is one, like he's just continuing to injure his ankles. Like, it's not great, but also the fact that Charlotte isn't playing for anything really. Like, it's not like they're fighting for a play-in spot, fighting for a playoff spot. So there's no sense in rushing him back in a meaningless season. So if they were playing for a playoff spot, could he be on the floor more? Would they be more clear about his injuries? I don't know, but I think when he's on the floor, like, we've seen what he can do. So taking him at 30, I think that's really good value.
Yeah, I love it there. He's still a first rounder when he's healthy.
Yeah,
it's just games played. So I think take a bit of a flyer here in the third round. I went with Cade Cunningham instead at pick 31. I don't know. I feel like the last month, it looks like he's starting to get into a bit of a groove. He's figuring things out. I think the Pistons will be okay next season. I'm not saying they'll be good, but I think they'll be better than what we've seen this year. I think Cade still wants to play as much as possible. Like, he feels like one of those guys who just doesn't like being injured. So, yeah, I'm happy with getting Cade here to pair with Brunson and Jokic. So, building up my points categories, my assists. I don't know, thoughts on Cade? Is this too high or a decent range, I think, to get him?
No, I think it's a really fine range to get him. I mean, last few games, he's 33 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists, 32 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. Since the All-Star break, I think his play has kind of picked up a little bit. And I think this is why – I'm pretty sure this is like roughly the range that he was going in drafts, maybe a little after this this past season. Because of that upside, now he's showing it. So now that we've seen it, I think it'll actually probably bump up his ADP. I wouldn't be shocked if he went earlier than this by the time the season rolls around next year.
Now, you went with De'Aaron Fox. I did consider De'Aaron Fox here as well. So I did look at him. Talk us through what you were thinking here, De'Aaron Fox pairing him with Luka and Şengün.
Yeah, he's improved as a three-point shooter this year. The points and assists, I mean, the assists aren't phenomenal, but they're pretty solid for a point guard or for as good of a scorer as he is. So combining that with Luka and also kind of fitting the punt free throw percentage model of just he's a surprisingly bad free throw shooter, I think, for a point guard, especially with how good he has been from three this year. It's pretty surprising how bad he is from the free throw line, but not too worried about that with this build. So I like what I have with the first three picks.
Ooh, too far. So we then had Pascal Siakam go off the board to Kayla Fonte. Oh, I think that's okay for Siakam. It feels maybe slightly high for me, but it's fine. I think he's reasonably safe in this range. Not a lot of upside to push into the top 25 or top 20, but he really doesn't fall below the top 40, top 50. So fairly safe.
I think so. I think the early returns with Indiana haven't been phenomenal, haven't quite as good as they were in Toronto. But I think having, he'll go through a playoff, I would assume a playoff series, maybe things don't go as well, at least the postseason with a couple play-in games, and then an offseason. So I would assume things work out better and like a little more clean next season. So I'm fine with that here.
B-Dub went with Jaren Jackson. Interesting. He's fallen from the heights this season, where he was being taken sort of back into the first round, early second round, into the mid-30s, which I think feels a lot better. Obviously, we haven't – this season is not a good indication of potentially what he could be or what he could do because they've been so injured. So I think getting Jaren Jackson here is a really nice get. I think his floor is safe enough that there's no issues taking him here. And then Mike Barner went with Darius Garland at pick 35. Garland's been pretty underwhelming this season. I had him in a league that I was eliminated from yesterday. And, he's been pretty rough. I know he's had some injuries, but just hasn't taken that next step for me, which I thought he might this season, and he hasn't. He seems to have plateaued a bit. What are your thoughts on Darius Garland?
Yeah, really good talent. Obviously, it's been a little bit limited playing alongside Donovan Mitchell, but I really do think like the injuries are just a factor. Like he's been in and out of the lineup like quite a bit, and it kind of takes him a little bit to get his legs back under him when he gets back into the rotation. Just hasn't been great. I mean, we've seen flashes at times of what he can be, so I have no issue with him in the third round. He's still a really good talent.
Jamal Murray goes at 36, pretty safe again, I think, to Alex Reclean. What's the button? Fred Van Fleet went to Dan Titus at 37. So some guards going off the board here. Van Fleet, again, a really nice pick. He's borderline top 20 this season. His value is obviously built on limited categories, but still, I think he's going to be running the show there in Houston for the next couple of years. So I like Van Fleet. Another guard, DeJounte Murray, goes to Matty G at 38. Now, I actually considered DeJounte a little bit earlier. Under the possible assumption that Trae Young gets moved in the offseason. I'm not sure that's going to happen. It probably won't, but if it did, I think we've seen in the last 2 weeks that DeJounte will get back to where he was when he was in San Antonio. Probably not all the way back, but he could be top 20, top 25 if he's running the show in Atlanta there. Thoughts on these three guards?
Definitely good range for Jamal Murray and Fred VanVleet, especially with what their numbers look like. Just Jamal Murray being healthy has helped him a ton, because obviously that's been a major issue for him the last few years. DeJounte is, I think this is a great range to take him. I'd be pretty shocked if Atlanta ran it back with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. I would assume that one of them gets traded based on how heavy the rumors were at the deadline. Like, I just can't imagine with the way the past 2 years have kind of gone, them saying, yeah, we're going to try this one more time. Whether it's Trae Young that stays or DeJounte, I would assume that DeJounte kind of goes back to being a full-time point guard next year. So I think it's a great range to take him.
Zach took Evan Mobley at pick 39, which again, I think Mobley we've seen probably hasn't risen to the heights we thought he might, but he also, I think he has improved. Like, I think we've seen enough from him this season to have hope that he can increase his production. Obviously, we thought last year was going to be the year, and then Donovan Mitchell arrived, and that sort of put a dampener on all of that. But I like Mobley here. But the next guy I want to talk about, Jalen Johnson, who went at pick 40 to Kyle McEwen. One of the most improved players this season. We were drafting him. I feel like I had him in sort of the 70s or the 80s, and he's been a top 30, top 40 player. Is this where he's going next season, do you think, or will he even go higher?
I don't want to say I seriously considered him with my third round pick, but he was definitely in my queue. And had he made it back around to me, which again, that's like 14 picks later or something, then I definitely would have taken him. I think this is a fine range to take him. I think with what he's done this season, and I would assume he's only going to one improve at least a little bit next year and be a larger part of the offense from day one, larger part of their game plan. I have no problem taking him around like pick 40. I think that's really good value.
Yeah, I think this is probably about as low as he falls. I feel like both he and Jalen Williams will go in a similar range next season. Paul George went at 41. Again, pretty safe. He's been relatively healthy this season. And Kristaps Porzingis at 42. I like that. I like Porzingis at 42. I don't know what he's – but I feel like he's been better than that this season. Where are we? 15th-ranked player this season in 9-cat. Injuries, management, rest, that sort of thing is probably the reason that he gets sort of pushed back around or so, because the Celtics are just so good that they can manage his minutes. They don't have to play him every night. He's missed the last two games with an injury that – if he was playing on a team that was battling for a playoff spot, he'd probably be playing through it. So that's the concern with Porzingis here, is that he probably doesn't play more than 60 games, maybe 55 games. So you bump him back around. But I think getting him here is nice value.
Yeah, no, I agree entirely. I think he is, like you said, a guy that goes under the radar, maybe not under the radar, but though, like, knowing that they're going to limit his games at least a little bit kind of impacts where he goes. But no, I think that's really good value there.
Now, I thought I've got to do school run and stuff in about 10 minutes. So I'll fly through this because our wish has actually come true. So we are both, well, you've made your pick because you had your cue set, but we'll get through these picks and then we'll talk about our picks live, because you've just made yours and I've got my cue ready to go. So we had Jalen Williams at 43, Jimmy Butler at 44, Desmond Bane at 45, Ja Morant, LeBron James, Nicole Bridges, and Derek White. Any thoughts on these guys here? Anyone stand out? Anyone going too high? Anyone sort of falling further than what you thought they might?
I think Desmond Bane is incredible value here. I was kind of surprised. I thought he might make it back around to me. Because, I mean, he's the guy that was going probably early third round last year in like 12 team leagues. So he was like kind of around 30-ish, maybe a little earlier than that. So the fact that he fell around just because of an injury that's probably not going to be as much of an issue next year, I don't know. I think that he's definitely a guy. This was incredible value. I also was a little bit surprised how early Derek White went. I was kind of surprised Reclean took him there. I love it. Love Derek White, part of the Derek White fan club, but I was a little surprised he went top 50.
Yeah, he's 38th this year. I just had him up here. Yeah. 28th, sorry, in nine cat leagues. So, yeah, look, I think this is okay. I don't see him getting any better than what he's done this season, but he's certainly a key piece for the Celtics, and they need him on the floor as much as possible. LeBron, I think I talked about this with Matty G. We are starting to see some of these aging players fall a little bit. Jimmy Butler at 44, LeBron at 47. Durant fell a little bit. Paul George went just before this list. So some of those guys are starting to drop off. Mikal Bridges at 48, much better than where he was going this year. And he's probably someone that people are going to be soured on a little bit. So I think there might be a bit of value in him next season, given how bad he's been. So we've had a couple more picks after this, which I'll do another show and we'll talk about those. But let's talk about our picks, because we have just come up on the draft board to make our picks. So let me see what number you're picking at. 53. So your fourth round pick. Talk us through. I can see what pick you've made, but talk us through who you took and why.
Yeah, so I went with Zion Williamson. Again, leaning in a little bit to the free throw punt. Just a guy that, when he's healthy, I think it's the numbers have been down a little bit this year, but helped my field goal percentage and obviously my points. He's been better with the assists lately, and they're kind of unleashing Point Zion a little bit. So I think as long as he's healthy, that this is a really good fit for him, because I think he's a guy that, like, with his skill set, with the right build, you can maximize him, or with the wrong build, you can really limit what he can do in a nine-cat league. So I think that with what I have, it kind of helps maximize him a little bit, because I'm also probably not going to win turnovers often between Luka, Şengün, and De'Aaron Fox. So we don't have to worry about that with Zion either.
So I've got my cue ready to go. So you have made that pick, made the Zion pick, and I'm up, and I've got four players in my cue.
Do not take the guy that I want to take.
Get rid of that. I can't promise anything. So I'm picking at 54. I've got, so far my team is Jokic, Brunson, and Cade Cunningham. So I feel like Cunningham, Jokic are guys that can sort of give you numbers across the board. I'm probably punting blocks at this stage, unless I was to take someone like a Walker Kessler, or I'd really need to back end my blocks here. And I feel like I'd be chasing value there rather than getting players at value. I'd probably be reaching. So I'm probably going to punt blocks. I don't have a forward, so I'm looking to fill a forward spot. So I'm probably leaning into – I do have Jalen Duren and Brandon Ingram are two of the guys that I've got, but I'm still not sold on Duren, and he's just not a high-volume scorer yet. You need to get points early. So I feel like I need to probably get a 20-point scorer here, which Ingram is, but his injuries still worry me. He's just his frame, and I know he's been pretty healthy this year, so I've actually narrowed it down to two, I think, in my queue, and those two are Franz Wagner, which might be the guy you were looking at. I'm not sure, but
not sure.
I like Franz, and the other one is Miles Bridges. I like both of these guys here, but I feel like Franz has more upside. He was at the top of my queue. Franz is at the top of my queue, and I just added Miles Bridges because I sort of forgot about him, because he's way down if you look at the rankings, because it sorts it by rankings this year coming into the season, and Bridges was way down. So I'm going to go with the just slightly more upside and take Franz here. I like Franz. I think he's top 70 this year. We've seen enough from him. I think he can be a top 50 player next year. The Magic are rising. They look like they've got a really good team for the next couple of years. So I'm going with Franz. Thoughts on Franz there at 54 or 53, whatever I took him at?
I just asked you to do one thing. Just don't take the guy that I was going to take next. So, no, great pick. I love it. That's exactly who I was hoping would make it back around to me. I considered taking him there, but I felt like Zion just fit a little bit more of what I wanted to do. So, I think that's a phenomenal pick. I really like his upside. I'm hoping he takes another step forward, him and Paolo, next year.
Yeah, and I would have taken Zion. So if you'd taken Franz.
Okay, so I don't feel quite Zion, as bad.
Yeah, so they would have gone off the board. So, as you said, it's been a fun experiment. Still quite a few rounds to go. I'd say it might be wrapping up by the time we do our show next week, or probably will have wrapped up. So we might break down our teams. And then I might even get someone else on the show. I'll see if I can get Dan Titus or someone to come on and talk about their team as well. I do have to run out of here. I've got things to do. I'm sure you do. Once we figured out the time difference now with daylight saving starting over there. That's right, isn't it? Daylight saving starts. Ours ends in about 3 weeks. So